Ryan.com.
Hey, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day for those of you who are still celebrating the made-up holiday. There may be a couple of minutes left if you're in the East. And for the rest of you, not very much time left on that clock. You probably ran out at the last second, I know. I went to the store today. I saw all of you guys lined up grabbing those flowers. So much so that the grocery store must have made a fortune because they had a dozen roses for $50 and they were all gone. Every other person in line, I'm not kidding you, was holding flowers. That's okay. I mean, hey, if that's what it takes, if that's the Valentine's Day is your thing and your day to recognize a significant other or to be recognized, then good for you. I just say that Hallmark loves this day and the florists love it. Probably restaurateurs as well make some coin. If the weather's okay, though, that's the key. If the weather's really, really, really brutal, it might be tough on getting those folks in the door. But not for the flowers, I think, and not for the cards, certainly. Hey, coming up in another 10 minutes, we're going to talk about the personality traits. You're going to love this. Of the former president, George Bush, and the current president, Barack Obama. I mean, let's face it, whether it's the pundits or talk show hosts or whoever it is, or the zany callers, everybody wants to get a handle on the head of the president. What's inside? What makes him tick? What's their deal? I mean, that's the truth. Because always that's what you hear, the reaction. Well, he's too soft. He's weak. He's too aggressive. He's too sensitive. You know, give me an adjective and we'll throw it at one of the presidents and it'll stick somewhere. So anyway, we're just going to look at Bush and Obama. And that's coming up in another 10 minutes here on the big show. Since it is the tail end of Valentine's Day, I thought it'd be fun to do this little thing where we come up with the biggest cupcakes in politics especially. But if you want to throw in sports or business, you can do that. It's almost a layup. I mean, I started to make a list today and I thought, I don't even need to make a list. I already know off the top of my head. I can go current and I can go backwards probably two decades and give you who I think are the biggest cupcakes of all time in all three categories and then even throw in entertainment if I wanted to. But that would just be too easy. Entertainment really would be too easy. Also, we're going to talk in this hour about Joe Biden and Dick Cheney. They kind of went at each other on two different Sunday programs. And the talk was about terrorism, most of it anyway. The Obama administration is not ruling out a military trial now is what's being pumped out there for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others, especially because they know, most likely, Congress, cha-ching, is not going to give them the money they need for that civilian trial. If you look at what typically it could take Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four others to get through our current system, to go through our current legal system, you're probably talking about $1 billion. New York doesn't want to pay that. Finally, Mayor Bloomberg got wise and realized, oh, why did I sign off on this? Why did I say I thought it was a good idea? What was I thinking when I talked to Eric Holder? This is going to cost us a fortune. We don't have any money for this. So I don't think Congress is going to pony up the money. The bottom line is, to me, it shouldn't be a civilian situation anyway. War combatants, the situation. I mean, look, Manhattan, do we have to go back in time and relive 9/11? We know what happened. The Twin Towers come down. 3,000 people in all killed. The folks that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. What about the Pentagon? We can't forget about that. And, of course, New York. And what happened to Manhattan? You know, you're talking about women, children, and innocent guys who were just going to work or walking along the street. There's too many sad stories to tell. But we know they're out there, and we've heard many, many, many of them. And that is not a civilian situation. I don't see how you come up with trying them in a civilian court. It makes no sense. It makes much more sense to go with a military tribunal, commission, whatever you want to call it. So now everybody's kind of getting that idea. We're probably not going to be able to do this anyway because we're not going to have the money, right? We're not going to be able to do it. And I think that there may be a fight and there may be a war of rhetoric going on, but in the end, I do not believe that we're going to go down the path of civilian trials. You move Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and the four other guys, try him someplace else, you're going to have the same problem. What, and a small town's going to be able to pony up the protection you need and the money that they would need for a force that would be able to withstand what could possibly happen? Can you imagine if somehow they escaped? That would be the worst of all possibilities, I believe. All right, we have some other things that we'll talk about, too. Like, we'll lighten the load. We definitely have sports shorts. Who won the Daytona 500 for all you motorheads out there? I'll tell you, it was an interesting finish to that race. And All-Star games are boring. I think it's like watching paint dry. But not everybody agrees with me. I actually had a seat to go to this one if I wanted it. I didn't want to go. 108,000 people, though, went out to Jerry World in Dallas, Texas to watch the East and the West go at it. So apparently they either just wanted to go out for fun or they know something I don't know. But we'll talk about it when we do sports shorts. Also coming up in this hour, We Can Count, one of my favorite news segments we've been doing for, I guess, the past 3 weeks or so. And it has to do with numbers. Although almost anything we talk about these days seems to do with numbers, whether we're talking about hard currency or just numbers of things. And we'll jump to that certainly as well. Sad story out of the Olympics, that the fact that one of the Olympians was killed. I turned on the tube after this had happened, and I was watching it, and they were very vague about the details. But here this was this Georgian luger who died in a horrible training accident before the opening of the Winter Games. And he told his father that he was worried about the track before he did the run that killed him. So it was a weird accident, but it made them do some different things to the track in Vancouver for safety reasons. And he's just 21 years old. Lost control of the luge on the final turn of the course that he was practicing on, supposedly the world's fastest, and he slammed into a steel support. And he was going 90 miles an hour. Wow, 90 miles an hour. So the International Luge Foundation or Federation has blamed the crash on the 21-year-old kid, not on deficiencies in the track, and that has a little firestorm of controversy as far as that sport is concerned. So we'll also jump to that in sports as well. So a whole lot of reasons to stick around here on a Sunday/Monday, swinging into yet another week in February. Man, how it flies. Wasn't it just Christmas in January? And here we are. We're getting deep into this, folks. Stay with us, talking about the two presidents and their personality traits next on ATN.
This is an emergency alert. People don't die of H1N1 infection. They die from system-wide intoxication and toxic shock. Doctors call it the cytokine storm following infection and immune hyperstimulation. Vaccines with immune stimulants or toxic drugs chemicalize your body, adding to your death risk. Prevent death and reverse diseases from infections, vaccinations, and drug toxicity. Call this number to get my free special report about the flu and what to do to save lives, maybe even your own. I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. Order Zeolife, the world's most powerful broad-spectrum detoxifier, immune system guard, and vaccine cleanse. Avoid vaccinations and drugs. Use Zeolife and OxySilver Hydrosol instead to detox and de-germ your body. Stop the shock of toxicity and preventable deaths. Call 1-888-KO-GERMS. That's 1-888-KO-GERMS. Or visit zeolife.net and oxysilver.net and order your free report and package special.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Our mission,
counterterrorism,
and training, equipping, and supporting Iraqi forces.
Training, equipping, and advising Iraqi security forces.
Know that you feel the same as I do. It's a threefold new Sophian dream. You do something to me.
America tonight, coast to coast and everywhere in between. For all you East Coasters, I hope you're warm now. Finally, some of that snow clearing away. What am I saying? Every single state except for Hawaii had some form of snow on the ground in the last 2 days. That is just crazy. A lot of you have sent me pictures of snowmen and all that kind of stuff. We're going to get to the mailbag a little bit later on the show. All right, as promised, I said we would talk about the different personality traits between George W. Bush, former president, and our current president, Barack Obama. And so much of the analysis, and always what we're talking about, let's face it, with politics, whether we're breaking down policy, things we don't agree with, the nuttiness even of the people around them, it does relate to what their styles are, certainly, no doubt. So Stu Slackman joins us. He's the author of Don't Just Stand There, Sell Something, and I guess another book, too. He must be busy. Four People You Should Know. Stu, thanks for coming on our show. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Let's talk about that. First of all, because that's what everybody wants to do. They want to get inside the heads of these two guys. Let's go back to George W. Bush. I mean, it's interesting now, and I know Bush from days of talking to him, even when he was part of the whole Rangers scene and then was governor of Texas, and I just his personality, I found him to be, and some people would be shocked by this, but charming. He remembers people's names. So my nickname at the time when I first knew him I was doing an on-air show in Dallas and then in New York, and my nickname was the Sports Princess. And he, you know, called out to me a couple of times, "Hey, Sports Princess," like, so I knew just in our brief interaction, and I could tell by other people around him, he was very good at knowing people's names. What does that say? Does that play into what you think are the personality, was the personality style of Bush?
Well, kind of. He's sociable. And if you look at, my second book is on colors, and it's a color-coded personality system. And in the system, he's a gold personality backed up with an orange. So what that means, in Myers-Briggs, he's what you call a sensory judger. Now, so he's a person that is sociable. He believes strongly in accountability, commitment, loyalty. When it comes to decisions, a gold personality is extremely decisive. And you could look at the book The Way of the World by Ron Suskind, and he talks about Bush and, you know, how he commands, you know, when he makes decisions, they are quick, they're decisive. He doesn't back off on them. Mm-hmm. His personality style hates disorder, and he believes in setting the policies and sticking to them. And that's very much what we call a judger, a gold personality. So when you see a person like that, they are quick to make decisions, they won't take long, and they don't back off of them. And just like the war with Iraq, Afghanistan, mm-hmm. Tax cuts, what he did right after 9/11, these are all strong indications of the gold personality. And the orange is someone who's jovial, likes to cut up, and you can see that he cuts up a lot, and yes, remembering people's names and being social. I actually met him at Nortel Networks, and I thought I was one-on-one with him in a crowd. He was that personable.
Yeah, boy, that's true. I mean, that is dead on right, I would say, your assessment when you look at the personality of Bush and the gold and the orange, from what I've seen. And then the examples, you're right, whether it's Iraq, the tax cuts, 9/11, no backing down, no matter what, boom, decisiveness. Now, so you take that and you flip that, and with what you've worked out, what do you think of Obama's personality style? How would, color-wise, what would he be?
He is totally the opposite. I mean, if Bush is a gold orange, which he is, I believe that Barack Obama is a green blue, which is the total opposite. In Myers-Briggs, he is an intuitive thinker, and there are some just great examples of that. Now, first of all, his campaign ran on hope and change. One of the things that green personalities love is change, and they will continually change things. And, of course, as an idealist, it's to make it better. That's what. And it's not what people do, but why. So people are saying, how come he's taking – it took 4 months to make a decision on – Afghanistan, why mm-hmm. did he only give them 30,000 troops versus 40? And the answer is because that's his personality style. He will analyze. He will take in all the data. One of the strongest traits of the green personality style, actually not strong, is they are slow to bring things to closure because they have to have all the information. They have to analyze the information. And because of that, and being intuitive, they go deep and wide, and there's no sense of urgency.
Wow. And so, Okay, so you take that from the green, and that completely makes sense to me. It was funny. We were talking about Afghanistan tonight. And then the blue. What's the blue side?
The blue is his secondary, I believe, and that is it's a relationship thing. Blues very much depend on honesty, integrity, trust. But here's the reason why I think it's blue, because blue is an intuitive feeler. And as a double intuitive, he's slower to make decisions because that's a trait of both green and blue, is not to bring things to closure. In other words, he needs to get consensus. He needs to get buy-in. He's going to analyze all the information. He's a person that will easily change in midstream, where mm-hmm. Bush would hate that. Goals do not like change as far as organization goes, where I think you'll see over the next 3 years lots of changes with Obama just based on that green-blue personality. He will tweak the process. He also, one characteristic of the green personality is They challenge authority. In other words, look what happened in Nebraska and Louisiana with tax dollars going for their votes.
Yes.
That is characteristic of Greens. You know, where Golds make the rules and abide by the rules, Greens will question the rules and go around the rules. I mean, I always thought that, you know, to give money to a state to get a vote, I don't think that's legal. But that is characteristic of his personality style. And they will make a lot of mid-course corrections along the way. And that is dead on for that type of personality style. Flexible deadlines, you'll see that too. Even though they say he wants this bill passed now, you haven't seen him screaming and yelling that it hasn't been done. He'll just go with the flow.
Yeah, that's right. That's a great example of the health insurance reform, because that's really what it is.
Yeah.
Wow, we only have a couple minutes left, but it's interesting how you compare the, especially with the colors. I love that. And that's what you do, but you do it a lot specifically in, you work with a lot of people in sales, and I would imagine that part of the problem is the whole communication thing. So if you can identify the personalities, probably companies can be set up better, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely. When it comes to the four colors, it's how people communicate, what motivates them to action, how they make decisions, slow or fast, how they view change, how they view risk, how they view conflict, and they all have a different set of values.
Yeah, oh man.
Yes.
It's dead on.
It's interesting, especially in the selling process. If you understand the personality style of the buyer, you'll understand how they will evaluate and how they'll go about making a decision based on the information they receive and how they view closure.
Yeah. Interesting stuff, Stu. Thanks for coming on. We'll tell everyone they should check out your website, competitiveexcellence.com. Then you can learn out more about Stu, but that's fascinating. Hopefully we'll run into each other here down the road. Thanks, Stu. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Kate.
All right, I love what he said. I mean, he was that not dead on, talking about Bush gold orange and talking about Obama green blue. And I love how he brought it back down to the whole flexible deadlines thing. That's so true. I mean, that's the frustration that we, of course, talk about here on America Tonight. The flip-flopping, it feels like flip-flopping, but it's that whole idea of just changing, just constantly changing, which, right or wrong with some of the decisions that Bush made, that was one thing that he didn't do. So there is definite different contrasting styles with those two. It'd be interesting to even open it up more. You take it back to Clinton, and then you go back to Bush 1 before that, and then you could go all the way back through Reagan and Carter and etc. and compare those personalities. All right, coming up on the flip side, Afghanistan, a rocket veers off course and kills some civilians. We're going to tell you the details on that. 800-259-5791. Keep the number handy so you can chime in. Stay with us.
For safety, you lock doors, set alarms, buy antivirus software, maybe even have a watchdog. Do you care as much about your air and water? Lock out harmful poisons from entering your body with airandaqua.com. Using purification devices from airandaqua.com allows you to enjoy safety and security with every breath you make and every sip you take. For free shipping on purchases, discounts, and newsletters, visit airandaqua.com or call 866-380-2782. Shop airandaqua.com and purify your life.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Thomas Jefferson once said, "When the people fear their government, there is tyranny. When the government fears the people, there is liberty." Our God-given right to life and liberty, and the right to determine what is best for our lives and our families' health, are in jeopardy. If we the people do not diligently assert these rights, they may be taken away and lost forever. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, and we will not meekly allow ourselves to be led as lambs to the slaughter. Sitting passively by and accepting the chains of slavery that are being placed on America is not an option. Please stand with Utopia Silver in this fight. Utopia Silver carries some of the most effective colloidal silver products on the market and numerous other high-quality health supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A, utopiasilver.com. Or call us today at 1-888-213-4338. 1-888-213-4338.
We're going to get to that in just a second. But before we do, you know, and just talking about George Bush, they did a little poll here, and they're still blaming Bush for the economy. So it's been over a year since he left office. And most Americans, according to this poll, you know what you can do with polls. We say this all the time. But the New York Times CBS News survey, they threw it out Friday. They say 31% of Americans say that the Bush administration, it's their fault for the current state of the economy. Only 7% pointed their finger at Obama and his team. And then another 23% said the fault lies with the Wall Street institutions. 13% blame Congress. 10% say it lies with all of them. I like that one. All of them. Just blame them all. Throw the blanket over them. So, I mean, here's the thing. It's true. He did inherit it. There's no question. The whole nonsense, the whole AIG, three dreaded letters mess, the what to do, you know, the hangover from Paulson. I mean, the biggest problem was, and I don't know if people realize this or not, but when Obama was running for president, just like McCain, because McCain called for an economic meeting, if you remember, with the president and some key people. And McCain and Obama were both on the phone with Paulson at the time. He was the Treasury Secretary a lot. And also Bernanke. They were talking to him a bunch, to thinking that, you know, they're going to become president. They want to get rolling on the economic problems and what they're going to do and blah, 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 blah. So Obama was in on what are we doing, where are we going, here's what we want to see happen. He was part of that initially at the tail end of the Bush administration because he was brought into it through McCain when they were both running. That sort of the show of I don't know, force that we're doing something about the economy and, you know, bottom line is letting Paulson put into place what he put into place and there was no accountability. And the same thing now with Tim Geithner, he dropped the ball on the whole accountability thing. I think that's a huge problem. So I would say you could split it in half. Because, yes, he inherited some of it, but now with the stimulus and how bungled that's been and with the idea that there wasn't any controls in place. Okay, hey, we're going to give you this money, but, yeah, just get it back to us when you can. Sure. I mean, are you kidding me? How does that happen? Where can I get that loan? Can any of us get those kind of loans where you don't have to be accountable? I mean, that's the problem. So I'd say you could split it. You could split it from the last administration and what happened at the tail end and what was dead wrong and what was happening, the greediness of the Wall Street guys, and then you could certainly pass it on to the Obama administration because they had chances to do some things they didn't do, especially when it came to the accountability factor. All right, Afghanistan, huge news about Afghanistan. Sadly, because I'm a big fan of the whole drone thing, as you know, I think it's a great way, and it has been an effective way to nail some of the worst bunch of bad guys that we've seen as far as terrorism is concerned. But two rockets slammed into a house Sunday outside of an area in southern Afghanistan. That's a big Taliban stronghold is the best way to say it. So once that happened, 12 people were killed. Now you have Hamid Karzai appealing to NATO to say, hey, we got to take care in the campaign to seize this town. You have Marines who come in, and every corner they turn, they see death. It's bleak. There's booby traps everywhere. You know, picture, everybody can relate to these video games, right? I don't care if you're older or younger. We've all played some kind of video game. So it's like the booby traps you're trying to avoid in the video game, only multiply it by 10. This is hardcore Taliban fighting. And so the people that were killed, were they hooked up with the Taliban? Were they being used as shields for the Taliban? What's the true story there? It's because you've got booby traps and explosives and things that detonators every hour going off, mortars, rocket fire, you know, all that sort of stuff that you can imagine. But, hey, killing the 12 people, not good, because that means there's going to be more accusations and more calls for, ooh, you know, we ought to think about the drones, maybe we ought to pull the drones off, and what about the rockets, and, yeah. Well, here's what happened. The rockets were fired by what they call a high-mobility artillery rocket system, okay? That sounds like a mouthful. And they were fired at the insurgents who attacked the Afghanistan forces and the U.S. as well. They actually hit one Afghanistan, one American, who were both wounded. And so that's what happened. The projectiles, unfortunately, veered 300 meters off target and hit that house. And, you know, General McChrystal, what can he do? His hands are already tied. I mean, let's face it, it's ridiculous, the rules of engagement in Afghanistan. We've talked about this. So he apologizes to the president for the loss of life. He suspends the use of now this form of getting back at the insurgents and the high mobility artillery rocket system. And then they say, okay, we're not going to use this. We got to look at what happened. We'll have to go through a thorough investigation of it. And, you know, even before this happened, I guess Karzai was pleading for the foreign commanders to be careful for the civilians. So he's furious as to what happened, and he's talking to everybody and anyone who will listen to him. you know, not good to have civilians killed, but the problem is the, is one and the same. In this area that they're going to, in this southern sticky area of Afghanistan, this is the problem of what they're running into. The Taliban attacks escalate, then you've got the Americans and other fighters on the ground, the Afghanistan's other foreign fighters, and they're getting pummeled by plenty of stuff coming their way, whether it's rifles or rocket-propelled grenades or whatever it is. And then they're moving through, my comparison to the video game, booby traps right and left, and they're in homes. So the homes are jimmy-rigged with bombs. What? So what are they supposed to do? What do you do when you send your guys in, when you send your crew in, and you're one of the commanders on the ground, and that's, you know, they don't want to hit these civilians. What are they going to do in the south? Now, they're predicting it's going to take about 30 days to clear the Mahra because of all those hidden explosives. Next Sunday on America Tonight, we're going to talk to somebody from Afghanistan in the middle of this. Hopefully, we'll be able to get through. But we're going to talk to them next Sunday, somebody who's a former journalist who's on the ground in Afghanistan and can give us a clearer picture of what's happened here, what the reaction really has been, not just what's being printed, but really what it's been among the people in some of the villages. So, you know, what the guys on the ground are saying, if you hear a boom, it's good. It means you're still alive after the thing goes off. That's what they're saying. They're calling it what I described as death everywhere they turn. Death in your face every corner. Okay? So if we're in Afghanistan for the long haul, and the idea is we got to do whatever we can to make sure that the Afghanistan forces are ready, that the police force there is ready, that the government is ready to just completely, you know, haul this whole thing in, since we've already been there over 8 years, then I predict there's going to be more predicaments like this. And General McChrystal, of course, like I said, he suspends this weapon, but what happens when it's another weapon the next time? There's problems about the drones and complaints about drones already. Is it pretty much, you got to go in with a slingshot? Go in with a slingshot. Show them your gun, but don't use it. And, you know, I'm making a joke of this, but it's not a joke. Under the current rules, troops can't fire at people unless they commit a hostile act or show hostile intent. I'm not suggesting that we have soldiers that go in and just open fire on innocent people. But I'm saying that these strict rules that were set up to spare civilians are making this job for the 22 and 23-year-old frontline guys, 21-year-old guys, that much more dangerous. What are they supposed to do? How do they get into these towns? And how do they get the Taliban out of the compound? You know, remember this whole olive branch thing? Oh, we'll get the Taliban, we'll pay them money, we'll get them whatever they want. Naked women, money, whatever. We'll give it to them, and then they'll join our side. Well, how are you even approaching the Taliban in these cases? The answer is you can't. You can't do it. How do you get the troops to get control from the Taliban? I mean, this is the second part of this operation in Afghanistan, where they're trying to convince, remember, civilians that their future lies with the government and not the insurgents. So you got to go to these community leaders and the shuras, the several shuras or meetings is what they call them, and sit down with these villagers, and you have to get them to renounce the Taliban. Sure, but they have to have a show of good faith. Good luck with that. So fair or foul. If you hear a boom, it's good. You're still alive after the thing goes off. It's getting deadly in Afghanistan, and I'm not kidding. Pretty soon, it's like pea shooters. That's what they're going to be armed with. Is this fair or foul? 800-259-5791. We're going to let you hear what one general has to say from the National Security Advisor's Office on Afghanistan. Hang with us.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from 4 levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy 8 flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
Studies have shown that many people do not get the proper vitamins and minerals necessary to maintain good health. With so many places to choose from, deciding where and what to buy can be a lengthy, frustrating process. The answer is simple. PureBulk.com. PureBulk.com has over 150 bulk wholesale nutritional products in stock, including vitamins, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts. PureBulk.com's products contain no fillers, no additives, no fancy retail packaging, and no minimum purchase, allowing you to save 50 to 90% over store-bought supplements. PureBulk.com carries atomic iodine, red wine extract, ginkgo biloba, oil of oregano, natural coffee caffeine, L-arginine, resveratrol, hyaluronic acid, creatine, curcumin, pine bark extract, grape seed extract, and more. For prices, additional products, and more information, visit PureBulk.com. That's PureBulk.com. Or call 406-251-3270. That's 406-251-3270 today.
But before we get to that, we were just talking about this U.S. rocket strike hitting a home and killing 12 civilians. Hamid Karzai is unglued. McChrystal said, forget the weapon. We're going to investigate. We're not going to use that weapon anymore because what happened is the rocket was off course. But I keep saying this. I mean, the civilian deaths are it's a terrible blow to what's going on there. And the Maraha area is a major ground offensive of this war. You got about 80,000 people there before this whole thing started. It is absolutely a Taliban stronghold. It's what they would call a logistical area for them. They got a base there. They're doing the opium thing, the opium trade out of there, so that finances what they're doing. And that's the idea of these rockets. Now, you had one American wounded, one Afghan wounded before this happened. And then once it hit the house, it blasted the house. And unfortunately, the 12 people were killed in that. So that's off the, that's boom. That's off the platter of artillery. Can't use it right now. And, I mean, you're talking about guys going in, really, rifles just armed with what they got on their backs, hoping upon hope that every corner they turn, they're not going to have somebody that's going to be there pulling some booby trap or stepping on a booby trap, because that's more what's happened there. They're just planted all over the place, all kinds of explosive devices. The idea is to blow everyone away that tries to step foot in that area, of course, because they got opium being run in and out of there. So how much money down the drain is that if the Americans plus NATO take that whole area over? I can't even fathom how much money it is. General James Jones, in the meantime, talked about Afghanistan and the fact that there has been a lot of clearing in the area, and they're very thrilled with the efforts to this point and feel like it's working and it's very, very successful, and things are looking bright on the Afghanistan front. Here's specifically what he said on one of the shows.
Well, instead of clearing the area and leaving, as we frequently did in the past, we now have our plans call for clearing the area, holding the area, and then providing some building for the people there. Better security, better economic opportunity, better governance, more of an Afghan face, and then eventually transitioning to full Afghan sovereignty in those provinces. So what's going on in the south is really a big story, I think, because I think we will be successful. I think they have a very solid plan. The president, Karzai, has endorsed it, and so we're all very anxious to see the results here. But I think that the other thing that your viewers would like to know is that at the integration, the highest levels in our structures now, we have a senior civilian and a senior military commander working side by side to make sure these things all work well together. And I've been doing this for about 5 or 6 years, and this is the first time that I've seen this cohesion exists both at the national and international level that brings in what I call the elements of a three-legged stool: security, economic recovery, and good governance and rule of law. It's not going to happen overnight, but the people of the region will see a much more permanent presence than they ever have in the past.
All right, so you just got that in a nutshell there, more permanent presence. So I'd say the surge and the drones have been particularly effective, but it's definitely a step back with the 12 civilians dying on Sunday with that mistaken house hit there, because it's been pretty successful, and it undermines this operation, no matter what this general says it does. And the idea is, and this is this phase two, you got to get the people to trust you. So how do you do that, stepping over each and every booby trap that's thrown in front of you? And it's not just the U.S., it's the Afghanistan forces, the British soldiers. They were all part of this. They had fire in their face all Sunday, and they were worried about the landmines and the roadside bombs and the booby traps that I keep saying over and over again, and that's what it is. Everything's jimmy-rigged. Wherever they're stepping, they might be their last place that they step. That's how dire the situation is. I mean, hey, war is hell. We know that. And this is a particularly different kind of hell, especially when they're hamstrung on what they can do to counteract what's being thrown at them on the front lines. This is the problem. This is, I think, the problem. The operation that we're talking about now in that area in the south, you've got about 15,000 soldiers, and you got hundreds of Taliban, though, fighting. And you would think, okay, 15,000 soldiers, hundreds of Taliban, who has the inevitable edge here? The people in between, the people of Afghanistan are the ones who are stuck, because they could certainly step on those booby traps, too. I mean, it is pretty dire. It is a delicate balance to try to figure out how do you avoid those civilian casualties. How do you do that? Reining in, they've been issuing these directives that you don't use force, because we got to win these people over. They're terrified. They feel alienated. So you have to be able to reach out to them in a different way. But when they find out, I mean, they uncovered already, to tell you how much explosives, 5,500 pounds of explosives. Yeah, and of course it's rigged up like that, because it would have been anyway, most likely, due to what's going on with the opium. But the fact that on top of that, you have the U.S. and the NATO and the attacks that have been going on there, of course, they're going to try to do whatever they can to shore up the area. All right, here's a couple of other odds and ends, including this one. I love this picture. I happen to see this is radio, but picture Drew Brees. He's dressed up like a Roman emperor, and thousands of people lined the streets in New Orleans to catch foam footballs that were thrown out by Drew Brees, who served as the monarch of Bacchus. And it's one of the biggest parades of the carnival season that culminates in Mardi Gras. So apparently, man, isn't his arm tired? He threw out like 10,000 black and gold footballs, then the beads and the doubloons and all the normal stuff that would rain down. And it just is so funny. I'll tell you what, I'm going to post it on my website at americatonight.net so you can see it. He's dressed up. It almost looks like, I don't know, I can't even give you an accurate description of it. If I could only figure out who he looks like, it just looks really funny. It looks like he was miscast in a movie, and he just doesn't fit the part. Like in Gladiator, when they had all those guys with the armor, he looks like he just doesn't fit in with the rest of the cast. Although it had to be pretty cool for the people to catch some of those footballs, because here it is. It's the second parade for Brees after the Super Bowl parade on Tuesday, since it was just a week ago when the Saints beat the Colts to win the big game. And now there he is doing the New Orleans things. And that first weekend of Carnival is huge. They have lots of parades. If you've never been, it's almost scary but sort of fun at the same time. It was so long ago when I did it. But they have dozens of parades that just roll throughout New Orleans. And they have different names, different themes. So the next one is on Monday. They have Orpheus. That's the Monday parade. And they continue to roll out the parades on Tuesday, or Mardi Gras. And so all the businesses are closed, and the French Quarter, and the parade route then is just jammed. I mean, Bourbon Street is, crazy wild. Just absolutely crazy. So I thought that was pretty funny as an odd and end to throw out at you. In the meantime, some other things that are happening around the world. The role of the U.S. in Haiti actually is coming down a little bit as far as the soldiers are concerned, because you remember this has now been over a month. There's still big concern about the orphans there, big concern about people and the lack of food getting to some of them, and trying to set up these tent cities. So Americans are still very involved, but a lot of the troop pullback has happened in Haiti, because really we have a voluntary military. How many troops can we continue to supply over there? And the answer is we can't. So there's been a big pullback in that direction and that relief effort. If you have any thoughts, shoot them to me. You know the address, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.